kid is my uncle. He choked me to death.
Whenever anybody says they're a little concerned, they're very concerned.
So what? What's wrong with being sexy?
Hello, and welcome to this new venture on 20 and 21. 20 and 21 presents... We don't have a name for this thing yet. Pretty classic for 2021 if you're a regular listener. Hey, I'm Joseph Eastwood Frisch here as usual. With me is a man often spoke of on the show, but now he's actually here to make fun of some movies, is Mr. James Koppel.
Hello, hello.
Hello, sir. And we watched Roadhouse 1989.
Masterpiece.
We just finished it. I've seen this movie many times, but I wanted a little, I always wanted it fresh in my head. So I think we're going to start doing these once a month, maybe, because there's nothing more fun than making fun of movies with James Koppel. So, 80s Babies, I thought might be a good name for the show, since probably I like to focus on 80s and 90s movies, if possible. So we watched Roadhouse, the year 1989, the number one movie, or I'm sorry, the number one song. I guess what the number one song was in May. It was May 19th, 1989, by a band called Sky. Never heard of them. SKYY. You know it? Sky. Mm. Start. The name of the song is Start of a Romance. Have no idea. No, if this was the old show, which it will be eventually, I will have like that queued up to play. But I haven't.
With my knowledge of 80s songs, haven't. It's surprising that that's just, if I heard it. Man.
1989, Start of a Romance by a band called Sky. I thought they just made shitty vodka. Oops, yeah. Beep that out. Sky, is that the bad vodka? Number one show, 1989, May 19th. Number one show in the United States of America. What do you think?
89.
I'll tell you what, it didn't hold up well. Ain't nobody watching it now. I'll tell you that much. Go, hey, come over here and let me show you how. Go, no, it's old Bill Cosby himself, the Cosby Show.
I was going to say, I know it's probably back then. It was probably Simon and Simon for me is the number one. But,
Simon and Simon. Is that the, which one is Simon and Simon? No, I'm thinking of Heart to Heart.
Heart to Heart's another.
Heart to Heart. I love Heart to Heart because of the intro of Heart to Heart. Hello. Remember Heart to Heart? Yeah. It had the gruff voice guy. I'm Max. I don't know what he had to do with the show. I haven't seen it in so long. I wish, once again, if this was the new iteration of the show, which it will be, I will be able to pull that clip up behind us on the television.
Maybe in the next, maybe we'll skip a movie next time and watch it. Yeah. Watch that so we can figure it out.
Hey, it's an 80s baby thing. I would absolutely love to watch one episode of Heart to Heart just to see what it's like. I know Max is like, he's the narrator of the story. Somehow he knows them. Hey, I'm Max, and this is Heart to Heart. No, I didn't ask you this at all. We just watched the 89 masterpiece, Roadhouse. I wanted to talk about it because everybody's talking about, we reviewed the new Roadhouse on the regular show. Have you seen the new Roadhouse with Conor McGregor?
I almost watched it the other night, but I did not.
So you're a UFC guy. I'm aware of UFC. What's your are you a Conor McGregor hater or are you a Conor McGregor fan?
I can't stand it.
Okay, I thought so. I thought you leaned. I really hoped you leaned towards because what I know of the guy, he seems like a real prick. Yeah. So okay, that's good to know.
He's a double D douche.
Oh, he's a yes. He's anyway. He's watch it. Just knowing that you can hate him a lot when you watch it, because we had a lot of thoughts about the new Roadhouse, but at the end of the day, it's enjoyable, except he's like the worst cast thing that's ever happened to a movie.
Did they put his alcohol in the movie?
His alcohol?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't notice.
Yeah, he's
he sells alcohol.
Oh yeah.
Is that why he has that Smirnoff looking eagle on his chest?
No, I think he had that pre-alcohol.
Oh, he's not selling Smirnoff, the even worse vodka than Sky?
No, he's got his own brand of Irish whiskey, I believe.
Oh, boy. No, thank you. That's, yeah. The Irish can keep their whiskey. I'll take good old bourbon and branch water, thank you very much, to quote Maurice from Northern Exposure.
It's a little throwaway line there. Northern Exposure.
Oh, yes. Well, that's the other show. I get into that out here. So, let's get into it. Roadhouse. You got an opening. It says Roadhouse. It's in neon letters, Roadhouse. So, he's working at a place called Roadhouse at the time he gets the call. The guy shows up. He says he gets $5,000 up front, $500 a night, all medical bills paid, and he gets to, when it's finished, he walks. Pretty good gig.
So what would that be in today's money? I wonder.
Oh, I mean, at least, what, double it? I don't know. Double and a half? I don't know.
That's in 89, that's some good money.
You know? In 89, that's great money. $5,000 up front, $500 a night. He's there every night of the week. So 7 times 5, ding, do, 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 do. That's like $8,000. I don't know if you saw the very beginning. It started without you. There's a band that looks like Los Lobos, but I don't think it is. It's like Los Lobos' cousins. Los Omos Bos. They're playing.
Los Bozos.
Yeah, Los Bozos. They're playing a song that's called Don't Throw Stones. And it's a pretty good rocker of a song. Anyway, Dalton gets picked up. Everybody knows the story. We cut to the roadhouse. The first thing you noticed was that there was a shirtless guy dancing at like 12 on a Tuesday. This guy's decided, I don't need a shirt for this place. This is the freaking double deuce. I'm going shirtless in here.
And, you know, actually, nowhere in the whole entire movie was there a sign on the front of that place that said no shirt, no shoes. No. So I guess it was legal.
It would have been really cool if the bad guy, like the second in command to the bad guy, if he would have just went barefoot.
Yeah.
Like he's a real kung fu dude. Like, hey, look at this Swayze.
Yeah.
I've got my feet.
Or at least ninja shoes.
Or ninja it was 89. They should have put him in ninja shoes. Somewhere. Instead of those white boots. The one guy had some white boots that were the stupidest looking boots I've ever seen. White boots. There's an old legend out here in Scheller, this old fella named Hank, which is a scholar that used to do a lot of things here. And his son was telling me one day about his rooster he had named Colonel Tom Parker was the name of the rooster. He took him everywhere with him, and he could, like, make him crow on command. But he told me he hated anybody in white boots, and he would just attack you if you had white boots on. And I didn't ask him, but my thought was...
Maybe he saw Roadhouse.
Maybe he did see Roadhouse, and that's why he hated the boots. Like, well, bad guys with machine guns definitely wear white boots. But I was like, who in Scheller, Illinois, is wearing white boots? I've never seen a white-booted man in my life out here, except for me. I have some white...
Maybe he was trying to tell you something.
Maybe that was Topo's way of telling me I didn't belong.
Get out of here.
We saw your satirical yard sign, asshole. Oh, you're out here in red country, sir. So there's a shirtless dancer. We got Terry Funk. We noticed a guy I've never noticed before at the bar who had to be somebody's nephew. There's just a bald guy sitting there. Dalton nods at him. He nods back and then stumbles off, and we never see him again. It's such a weird, weird thing.
But it was a slow process.
It was so slow. He was on there for a good, what, 10 seconds?
Yeah.
Like, oh, here's this guy. I almost thought maybe it's the writer or the director, maybe. Yeah,
maybe.
I hope it's the director. The director's name is Rowdy.
He's kind of like Stan Lee.
It's Alfred Hitchcock. He's like, I'm going to be in my movie. I'm going to be a drunk guy. I'm going to nod to Dalton. The director's name's Rowdy. You ever know anybody named Rowdy? Like, that's his real name. Hey, Rowdy. That's crazy.
Other than Rod Piper.
Mm-hmm. That's the only one anybody knows. Then we get a great line about nipple to nipple. The girl says she can do it herself. Which I'm like, well, later we see her. I don't think she can. she shows her. She gets a black eye. That's what he gives her that black eye for. God damn it. You said you could go nipple to nipple to that stranger at the bar. Now I'm going to.
Now I look like an asshole. Because you can't.
Then you took your clothes off and everybody saw you. They know you can't do that shit. Turn that crap off. It's got no heart. Why are we to think that he beat her up? At one point, he walks in. Everybody knows the movie. Hell, if you haven't seen Roadhouse by now. At one point, he walks in and she's got the black eye. What was the provocation? Why did he hit her? I'm trying to think at what point it comes. Like, what did she do? It's
just part of his character. It builds backstory for him. Shows it. He's even more of a scoundrel than what we thought. Yeah,
he's a really bad guy. We have a great scene in the bar where this guy says, he's got a lady there with him. This guy is the most disgusting, pig, garbage, human person you've ever seen. He's got a date somehow. Pretty attractive date for 1989. And he tells this other scumbag of a guy, for $20, you can kiss my girlfriend's boobs. Which she is totally down with. She's like, bring it on, weirdo, disgusting guy.
$20 is $20, you know?
He then proceeds to just grope her ferociously for, I'm going to say, conservatively 3 minutes.
Like he's never seen boobs before.
Like he's never felt like he is going number three in his pants while he's touching her. I have no doubt. He can't stop. He's like, oh. Then he reveals he doesn't have any money. Huge fight breaks out.
The entire bar is outraged.
The entire instantly. His bar freaks out over nothing.
Yeah. Goes against the whole premise whenever the bouncer, when Terry Funk tells Dalton when he comes in, you're not drinking, you're out of here.
Oh, that's right.
So if this guy has no money, he's not drinking, he should have been thrown out.
That's right.
And that whole fight scene would have been.
Maybe his buddy's buying him drinks. Maybe he just broke up with this lady. His buddy's taking him out on the town.
Because she didn't have any boobs.
Because she didn't have any boobs. That's right. That couldn't have happened. He lost his job at the Cracker Factory at the JCPenney's. No, wait, the JCPenney's isn't there, but it's coming there because of the bad guy. The bad guy at one point brags his power is the JCPenney's is coming here because of me. Which is great. Now, Healy, we haven't talked about this yet. Jeff Healy is the guitar player. He's the band leader. I played in a lot of bars. I guess I've never been a house band, but they're involved in everything.
Yeah.
All the comings and goings of the bar.
Yeah.
He's behind chicken wire. Bottle gets thrown at him. Who's throwing a bottle at a blind guy?
Yeah, you're not going to scare him with that. He didn't see it anyway.
No, he doesn't. I mean, he heard it. Probably got a little close. He's like, bottle. Yeah, let's chalk that up to an accident.
Right. Somebody just fell, you know.
Someone was dancing near me. They fell. Their bottle hit the chicken wire. And then I think somebody actually throws one hard and it breaks and hits him. He's got glass. Like, the song has to stop. It's the only time the song stopped in Roadhouse. Otherwise, the songs are being played constantly.
Do you think that we are meant to believe that in the movie, Healy can see?
Oh, no, I don't know. I don't think so.
At the car lot with everyone.
Oh, that's right. He's watching. Yeah, it's true. It's very true. He's, no. Because remember, Dalton sneaks up on him. Right after he gets a bottle broken his face, Dalton comes to the side of the stage and tells his bandmates, shh, don't tell him it's me. And sneaks up on him right in his face. And says, say, like, insults him or something, right? And then he says, and I thought you'd be taller. And then they're like, ha, they're old buddies. Dalton's here to clean up this place. We get the, I just wrote down here as a side note, Patrick Swayze was smoking 3 packs a day when he filmed this.
So
that's a lot.
So he took it easy.
Yeah, for 1989. They were Marlboro Lights.
To make it more 1989, they should have been Camel Wide. I was going to say. Camel Wide.
Why?
He should have walked around with a little tin.
Mm-hmm. Or, even better, Marlboro Reds 25-pack.
I guess technically the Camel Whites didn't come around until what, the early, mid-90s.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Camel's big time was mid-90s to late-90s. Yeah. They really had a push there where they
Camel
were like,
bucks,
Turkish, baby. Turkish gold.
Turkish gold.
It's from our tobacco. Our tobacco's from Turkey. Which, you know, probably wouldn't fly, you wouldn't think.
Well, no, turkeys don't.
Should have been the U.S. bird, according to old Benny Franks. On the other show, we've been joking about this Al Pacino movie we've never seen called Revolution. It's about the American Revolution. Mm-hmm. And we were just joking that, like, he should have played Ben Franklin and it would have been this horrible musical. And we've hyped it up so much that we don't want to watch the real thing because we're like, it's not going to be what we've made it. Like, we're literally like, you know, give me liberty or give me death. It's just, that's the whole movie. And we just saw that Michael Douglas has a movie called Ben Franklin coming out. I'm like, oh, shit. Maybe we should do this thing. Hot on the heels.
Maybe.
We need to write this
thing. I should be the only one that watches it, and we should have a round table, and I explain it to you guys, and we discuss.
Hey, I like that. I think we'll...
You have to judge the movie just on my details of it. Whether it was good or
not. I like that. It's a good idea. That's a show on its own. I wouldn't be surprised if Ward just bought it. I'd say that he's found it somewhere.
Oh, sure.
Or he's had one of his
This is the Japanese press.
He's had one of his sex robots at his palatial state order it for him, or one of his many maids. Let's see here. Then we get Dalton. He comes in. He gives a big old speech to everybody about be nice. Everybody knows the be nice speech. This was what I was talking about earlier. The band is just with the bouncers. Anytime there's a bar meeting, the band is hanging out. Just real weird. I guess just to have them in there. Maybe they were friends with Healy. Somebody wanted to get him paid.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It's weird. Now we have another. Now it's back to opening night. This is like after Gordon Ramsay's tried to clean up the place a little bit. Gordon Ramsay's come in. He's been like, what is this? What is this? You've lost your passion, mate.
But then Dalton throws him out because he's not being nice.
Not being nice at all. Get out of the walk-in cooler. Nobody told you to go back in there. Yeah, it's got raw chicken in it, dude. What do you want? Don't put your hands in the raw chicken. Jesus Christ.
That's what this show needed. It was Gordon Ramsay bitching about the food.
Look at this. Look at this, mate.
There's glass in my food. How am I supposed to eat this?
Sorry, mate. I couldn't get past the tits in my face to try the chowder. This is clearly out of a can. He goes back in the back room and those people are having sex back there.
See, that would have been perfect. That would have been perfect.
Oh, my God. Do you know what's going on back here? We have to shut it down. He comes out waving over. You're going to kill somebody. Shut it down.
There's fecal matter in the food now.
There's semen in the chowder. It's going to be his every Saturday night thing. Oh. So, yes, we get to this scene. We have the underage chick show up. The bouncer says she has a Sears credit card. She's trying to use as an ID.
And gets in.
That reminds me. I really need to check my Sears stock.
Yeah.
I haven't checked it in a long time. I bet it's.
I just let it ride, man.
That's probably the best thing.
Just let it ride. Say the best thing to do with your stocks is just not even watch.
That's what my dad told me. He said, once you put it in there, just let it go.
Wait till retirement age and
so see about how, time. See how yeah, it about out. What? 25, 30 years? I'll check it out. I bet that'll be worth a fortune by then. I'm counting on it. It's all I got, baby. this is where we see Danny Trejo's cousin, the bartender, is stealing. This is where you pointed out a great continuity error. A lady starts dancing on a table. Dalton hasn't done anything yet, but now he walks over and he gets the lady. He fights the guy. The guy's, I don't remember what happens. He fights the guy, but he bashes the guy's head, breaks the table. We see a bunch of these breakaway tables. Then escorts the lady off the table. She was dancing on the table. He broke it. She was not on the table. Then he asked, then he helps her down from the table. It's a really bad continuity here. I guess we're to believe it was a different table that just happened to be right next to it.
Yeah, right there.
Even though Dalton didn't move him an inch. He fires the guy that's having sex in the back room that Gordon Ramsay found. There's raw chicken right next to this man's ass. This is an underage girl here. Dear God. I'm going to have to call the authorities, mate.
Just a fetish, man. The raw chicken fetish.
That's how a fetish is born. After that, that's why, interesting enough, this lady, young lady that plays the underage woman, that's her first and last acting role. If you look her up on IMDb. So well, that
she
might
want to be part of the Illuminati and
no, I don't. She didn't want to drink
Hollywood stuff.
Drink baby blood, yeah. And have to do all that. Get what's that stuff that Hunter S. Thompson was taking? Adrenochrome.
Adrenochrome.
He didn't want to get that Hollywood adrenochrome in her system. I think her chicken, raw chicken fetish, was born that night.
Yeah,
and she was probably excluded because
she may
of that.
Went into some foul porn after that.
He fires the bartender. There's a big fight. He gets stitches. That's where we meet the doc. We don't care about the doc. We got Ben.
Nobody cares about the doctor in this movie.
Her tablecloth. She shows up later wearing a tablecloth. That's pretty fun. She's like, hey, you want to have a picnic? Come eat off my ass.
She's got a cooler full of warm sushi.
Jessica, you ever seen that movie Sushi Girl? They're going to make like 12 years from now. I got an idea with my tablecloth. Maybe that was the whole idea. That was like a country guy's idea
of
sexy.
They cut the rest of that. Yeah, but that's where it was supposed to lead to in the original script.
He was like, I don't eat sushi.
It's like, we're going to cut all of that storyline and the bartender.
And the bartender, yeah. I was telling Cop before we hit record here, Keith David, one of the great actors of all time, one of the great action guys from the 80s, had an entire storyline, hours worth, that got cut out of this movie of him being the new bartender and straightening up the bar crew. And they have part of it still sticks there because they have the liquor supply problem. And mm-hmm. The liquor guys, they show up with Jaws from James Bond movie. Big, tall guy. I think we missed it, but there's a part where Ben Gazzara basically says, like, boy, I'd like to see the package on that guy. Like, he basically calls out, like, I'd like to see him. I think he might even say, like, have sex with my lady or something. Like, it's bad. But, yeah, we meet Ben Gazzara. We meet him when he's beaten up. Well, we meet him driving down the road. We also meet him flying in a helicopter. And I was like, from where? This town appears to be maybe a square mile.
If that, yeah.
If that. It all seems to also center around this. His house happens to be right across from this sweet barn loft that Swayze rents.
It's for $100.
For $100. Man, what a deal.
Yeah.
He comes into town, buys a car, gets a place. He's making $500 a night, and he's paying this guy $100 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is cleaning up. No wonder he doesn't need to stay in one place.
He's the actual bad guy in this movie, if you really pay attention.
This Swayze?
Yes.
He shows up, helps destroy a town.
Everything was fine until Swayze shows up.
You're right.
Now
they didn't really seem
people off.
Well, except for the except for the fact that the double deuce was sweeping up eyeballs after close. We never really understand his problem with the double deuce, exactly, though.
Well,
like, the other people in town won't pay. Like, he's the bad guy, Ben Gazzara, is a typical, which we didn't realize until the last moments of this movie, that he is also Jackie Treehorn. It was a revelation to
it
me.
It wasn't until that one line, right, and it was dead on, Jackie Treehorn's
yes,
voice.
Yes, he said it. It's like, that's Jackie Treehorn. I literally watched this movie 3 times the past 3 months. I've never realized that was Jackie Treehorn. And we found a lot of Lebowski connections.
Yes, a lot.
We think that the Coen brothers, pretty sure, saw this movie. And they were like, all right, this car, you see how great this car looks? The busted out windshield. Sam Elliott peeking through this.
Literally, The Big Lebowski is a spinoff of Roadhouse.
Yes, we think that that is the car. And what else? Oh, that we think that Ben Gazzara's character was Walter C.O. in Korea.
It's absolutely. This is all factual. Factual.
Because he mentions being in Korea. Now, we don't know specifically what outfit he was with, et cetera. But we're, you know, it's 2024. You can make wild assumptions on a podcast.
And even say they're factual.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that he was Walter C.O. And probably rubbed off on Walter. That's why Walter's got a little bit of an abrasive attitude.
Yeah, and Walter's always bringing up past war that he was in, just like this guy.
And which makes me think, though, he didn't die at the end of this movie. He moved to L.A. and made a new life for himself as Jackie Treehorn, an adult movie entrepreneur.
And who else didn't die in this movie that appeared to?
The guy that said he F's people in prison? No. A tinker?
I'll give you.
Oh, Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott. Miho.
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 We haven't got to my favorite guy.
Maybe he did die because he's kind of the godlike
Oh, that's true. He is the godlike character in Lebowski. You're 100% right.
So he did die.
Maybe he's not real. He's just he's the narrator. He came back as spiritual form.
to guide these misfits from this bar. In this small town.
And he's learned a lot. He's learned a lot since he died or didn't die. He says he's mellowed out. He's more of a philosophy man. He's more of a philosophy man than Swayze could ever be. He's turned, you know, he's starting a whole new thing. Boy, I think this is really on something. This whole connection here. His number two shows up. Ben Gazzara's number two guy finally shows up. He's real cool looking. I wish he had a backstory.
Yeah.
He looks like a guy out of like Hard Ticket to Hawaii. Yeah. He looks like the guy Shades. We have this great scene where Gazzara beats up one of his employees and he says, cause you're a bleeder. He says, I love this line. He's like, you know, I don't like you. He's like, why, boss, or whatever. He's like, he punches him in the nose and then he looks at him, makes sure he's bleeding, and he says, because you're a bleeder. You bleed too easy. And I was like, you could use this approach with anything. It's the approach that this guy's got. You know what? I don't like you.
If you're a teacher, you know, you got a student.
Oh, no, I was thinking just like any threat you make to a person. You know what I mean? Like, you could be like, you know what I don't like? You know what I don't like about you? You don't walk good, and then just like bash their knees. A baseball bat.
See?
Look at you crawling around.
But I'm going to employ you anyway.
You know what I like? You know what I like about you? You always scream when you're on fire.
See?
I told you, I'm Ben Gazzara. I make things happen, you son of a bitch. I just thought that could go anywhere. Reds get hit. We meet Red, which turns out to be the doctor's uncle. Small town, Saturday night. Then finally, thank God, we meet the guy we've all been waiting for. Wade Garrett himself, great name. Sam Elliott. He's working at a bar that's not having a wet T-shirt contest. They're having a wet G-string contest. Why do we know that? Because there's a big banner and wet T-shirts been marked out with an X and it says G-strings and the ladies are not wearing T-shirts. They're just kind of walking around a stage. They're not really stripping. They're not really dancing. They're just kind of slowly moving around. And we meet Sam Elliott. And he's... what the hell was that? Was that a chicken?
I don't know.
Did you see the size of that chicken?
There needed to be a Spirit World reference in Roadhouse, too.
Oh, that would have been great if Patrick Swayze made them all take peyote. There you go, boys. This is going to help us get through the Spirit World. The Mexican guy shows back up. Like, this is disrespectful. I'm half Cherokee.
And Chuck Noll.
Did you see the size of that blade in his boot?
By the way, famous scene, guy's got a knife in his boot. If you got a knife in your boot, how often are you hurting yourself?
Right.
How often are you like... Because it's not one of those cool... there's like we've seen them in movies where people like hit their heel down and the knife pops out. It's not that.
Nope.
It's literally just sticking out. How many people are you cutting?
I bet the Achilles on his left foot is just shredded.
Oh, God.
Shredded.
Every time he goes to cross his legs, he's going, ah, God damn it. Like it's gonna for a while the boot's gonna give him protection. It's just gonna be cutting the first couple times you're like, God damn it, I just ruined my boots. I love these boots, my knife boots. And eventually it's gonna cut through that boot and he's gonna stab himself. Or just his underneath his knee.
Yeah.
Just trying to like cross your legs.
Your palm, when you cross your legs, I tend to put my hand
on your foot. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Don't ever walk in front of the guy, because if you like stop to point out something to him, he's gonna run into you with his knife and stab you in the calf.
Luckily, or like, there are no escalators in this small town.
Oh, because he would get caught in that thing.
Yeah.
He would go down, which could be a good thing.
Could have been. His it would be scene a. Right there.
I was
at the new JCPenney's.
At the new JCPenney's, they get a JCPenney's here because of me. That's power. Is it? Oh, man. I think they're tied into Sears now that I'm thinking about if the chick had a Sears card, surely JCPenney's is not far behind. Yeah. Sometimes they were connected even.
Yeah, for sure.
I got stock in that one, too, JCPenney's.
Yeah. JCPenney. I hear big things about it.
I hear they're really starting to have a real online presence. Which should make it really a lot better. Red gets hit. We meet Sam. He's in the G-string. There's a bunch of soldiers. And here's what I was getting ready to say. We keep getting references that Sam Elliott is like the best, right?
Yeah.
The guy goes there and he's like, I want Wade Garrett. Or no, Dalton says Wade Garrett's the best. And then we hear he's the best bouncer. The bar he's working does not represent that he is the best bouncer. Unless it's just part of that, the cooler code seems to be in Roadhouse. Once you fix a place, you move on down the road. So are we to assume that it's not fixed yet, and
right.
he's there, but soon it is going to be fixed, and when it is, he comes
to see Dalton.
He goes to Jasper. I don't think it'll ever be fixed. There's a bunch of army brats in there. First of all, he never thanks them for their service, which I thought was just rude.
Yes. Absolutely.
Neither do the strippers.
No.
Like, come on, guys. What do you guys think of here?
Bunch of commies.
Yeah, for real. And, of course, the soldier is trying to grope one of the ladies, and he says, hey, Rambo. He says, hey, Rambo, I know you want to fight all the commies, but...
You're going to have to do it from down here.
But you have to do it from down here. I believe they have squirt guns they're shooting the women with in this place.
Yeah. Yeah, goes with the military theme of the bar.
Of course. Just a bit. No. So, yes, now Elliot's in this movie. I'm excited. We got the knife boot guy shows up. Dalton points it out. There's another big fight. How much money are they spending fixing up this bar every day?
That makes what? $200-$300 a night?
Could be, yeah.
Yeah.
The guy's skimming $150 a night, so and he said he's taking one out of every 10. So that tells me the liquor intake cannot be more than $1,500
right.
a night. So, yeah, they're not making that much. And they employ, Jesus, there's 15 people work for this I mean, bar.
The band itself is how many? It's oh my, four yeah. or five members? And then,
yeah, you're right. That band's gotta got to be charging them $500 a night.
And then Swayze's making $500 a night.
Swayze's making $500 a night.
That guy's stealing $150 a night.
The other guy's
this
ruined
isn't
all
show
the
or playhouse
the other
here.
Guy's I mean, ruined all the produce by having sex on.
Right?
This
guy's just losing money hand over fist. Like,
he can't. So, well, that's why I got Dalton there.
Yeah.
He's cleaning up. We see. Oh yeah, well, I got the Korean connection with Walter. We're in a connected universe here. He makes a money reference to Dalton there about, you know, how much money he makes and that, and I was like, Dalton's making some decent money, dude. Like, he's whatever. He was only going to be there for 2 months, but in that 2 months, I don't want to do the math, but I'm going to say he's going to make conservatively $250,000.
Very conservative.
So anyway, and, I just had the thought that Dalton was going to like tell him how much his clothes were worth because he's dressed all fancy at the time. And then I just wrote down, more people should Ric Flair it. Because I wanted him to be like, you think I don't have money? And just start taking off his shoes and say, these are $10,000 shoes. Throw them out the window. Woo! Take his jacket off. Throw it at the lady with the black eye.
Then we also decided that Ric Flair should have had a cameo
yes,
in the movie.
Because famously, Terry Funk is in this movie taking punches like a real wrestler. And how great would it have been to see Flair show up?
Have Dalton bash his head off the door
yes,
or something.
And yes.
Then Flair and then, take the four and, steps and fall down. And,
yep, classic Flair.
Classic Flair.
Four steps and boom. Robbie tried to make a joke about the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
The other
my,
day, but
my
he
favorite.
But he was talking about the actual apocalypse.
Nah,
because that episode aired on Eclipse Day. Go figure that. It's the day before it right now. But it's the show for Eclipse Day, and I was like, and who? And he was like trying to make a biblical reference, and I was like, now which iteration of the Four Horsemen was this? He was like, I don't know.
Arn and Oli?
We need Coppola here because I don't know that many iterations.
I believe Magnum T.A. may have been in the Horseman for a little bit.
The Horseman Files. yes, Ric Flair should have been in this movie. They should have. He's still alive. They could have brought him back in the new one.
Yeah, he's doing insurance commercials or something like that.
Oh, no. Is he?
It's not insurance. It's maybe.
It's not reverse mortgage, please.
He's not Tom Selleck. I mean,
he's not Quigley Down Under. Woo. The doctor goes to Dalton's pad. You mentioned earlier, Dalton's written this place for $100 a month. It's the nicest hayloft you've ever seen.
Ever.
He tells her, it's quiet, and the horses let me know if someone's near. He doesn't mention to her that it's full of rats. It has to be.
It's a hayloft.
And bugs and roaches and just fleas. I'm just, it's like a barn. There's going to be fleas
allergy
there.
Nightmare.
Yes. She doesn't seem to mind her and her tablecloth. She's a doctor. She's probably been immunized. Now, this part freaks out a lot of people. He puts on Dirty Dancing music, the song from Dirty Dancing, and then he bangs the doctor against the really hard brick wall. It looks very uncomfortable. And then they go outside naked for Jackie Treehorn and for the old farmer to see. I like to imagine the old farmer's rubbing one out.
Oh, how could you not? I mean, Patrick Swayze is gorgeous.
I was gonna say, there's no way you can see a naked Swayze up there. And then a puny, skinny ass.
Yeah, he's like
Lynch walks out.
I wish
there.
That blonde would get out of the way so I could see more of Patrick. But Dalton.
And they're playing the Dirty Dancing song. Are you kidding me? How much better does this get? I bet even Jackie, you know, his hatred of him probably was secretly
rubbing.
And that's probably why he beat his wife. We're going to find out later.
Why can't you be as gorgeous as Dalton?
I thought you were. I lost his voice. You're a bleeder. Why can't you be as pretty as Dalton?
You look at that man. He's a specimen.
Now you've gone into, what's his name, off Saturday Night Live.
I don't know. I can't think.
Also from the 80s.
You know, I don't like you. You're a bleeder. That's all I can say. I lose it as too sidetracked.
Think off Charlie's Angels, that voice.
Oh, Charlie himself? Yeah. Charlie? It's Charlie.
It's a little more gruff to it, though.
Oh, we'll now find, you're back. We'll to, now we're back to heart to heart.
Heart
this
to
is
heart.
Max.
There it is. There's that's closer to the voice.
You're a bleeder.
I just like, that's not the voice.
I just like telling people they're bleeding. It's more my Charles Bronson voice, but I don't care. It works for it.
Yeah.
Why can't you be as beautiful as Dalton? Look at that man.
Yeah, see?
That man's a specimen. He's beautiful, goddammit. I'm going to punch you in the eye now.
You can't touch nipples. You're not as gorgeous as him.
And those goddamn underwear you're wearing. Do
make
not
your ass look long.
You have the longest ass I've ever seen.
It's like a banana in a hammock.
The principal tried to spank you, but your ass. He had to use two paddles. I don't know if that's a mama joke, but it should be. Why can't you buy some normal underwear? I'm not even sudden. Oh, I don't know what I'm doing now. Buy some normal underwear instead of those things. Those underwear, they're like the most sexy granny panties you've ever seen.
Oh, God. They got to be 3 foot long.
They're so long. Just go from under her breast all the way.
They're more like shorts, almost.
Yes, they are.
They're just high-legged.
They make her leg. I think in the 80s, people were like, we want legs that go forever. So they were like, what if we hike these underwears all the way up to under their boobs? And then it's just skin underneath that, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just leg. I think that's probably what it's supposed to be. It does not look good. I literally wrote down in my notes, how could an ass be so unattractive because of a pair of underwear? Not since Friday the 13th, part 2, and those brown underwear that girl wear after been.
It's very, they're very Amber Lynn type.
Yes, they are. Shark's going to love that reference. Talk about rubbing. Yeah, they're the worst. They're like your grandma just started watching Yellowstone and started feeling things she hadn't felt in years. She was like, I'm going to find some sexy lingerie. And she saw those. She's like, these look sexy. Not quite a thong, not quite anything. Just real high, make my ass look long.
Just a lot of material for no reason.
Oh,
unlike the script in Roadhouse.
Yes, I actually thought about going like beat by beat through the script that I started reading the script, and it was so dry and horrible, and they spell out everything and a bunch of things that got cut, and I was like, this is interesting, but I think I'll start falling asleep about halfway through.
I find it hard to believe that the script from Roadhouse was that bad.
I thought it was going to be generic.
All right.
Like most of those movies, the scripts are generic as can be. They don't have any details. This one had every detail like ironed out. So now we have Keith David and Vorms Dalton at the delivery. They're having booze delivery trouble. And this is where Jaws from James Bond shows up. And they're all beating the hell out of Dalton out back. He does all right for a little bit.
Yeah. For that many guys.
For that many guys. But then Jaws grabs him. And this is weird because they grab him to where, like, they have him, right? And they can just, like, rough him up. And then we cut to inside, and here comes Wade.
Yeah.
Here comes Sam Elliott. Has anybody here seen a skinny little rat and goes by the name of Dalton? And they're like, yeah, he's out back dealing with the beer delivery or whatever. Then they have to stop because we forgot to mention in this world, everybody knows a bouncer. A cooler, I mean, yeah, not a bouncer, yeah. Forgive me. Everybody knows coolers. And somebody in the bar says, I know who that is. I know who you are. Like, oh, yeah, that's the famous bouncer.
Cooler.
Cooler. It's the famous cooler, Wade Garrett. And, you know, he can't leave quite yet, even though Swayze, by this time, should be knocked out cold. They got him held down, beating him. He's like, pour me a beer and I'll be back in a minute there, Padre. He goes out back, and Swayze's just getting his ass beat. And like I said, it makes no sense because minutes have gone by. They should have been done with him by now. They're still just punching him in the stomach. So were we to think that they've literally just been working his gut?
Yeah, I mean, you got
for the last minute and a half.
It's somebody that tough, you know, you have to soften him up. You can't just
kill the body and the head will die. Yeah. Is that the idea?
Something like that.
Anyway, he comes out there. He makes an obscene reference to somebody. Terry Funk calls him Dad, which I thought was hilarious because Terry Funk is probably older than Sam Elliott at the time. He just happens to look like your dad.
Yeah.
We get to see Sam Elliott fight. He's
Quedo C, macho hombre.
He starts beating some people. He's kicking him. Later on, Sam Elliott's still there. This is a scene where I was talking about the long ass. The bad guy comes in. He's got his new guys with him, and he tells Healy. He calls him Elvis. He says, "Play." Oh no, he says, "Play something with balls." Hey Elvis, play something with balls.
That sounds exactly like him.
Get the hell out of my town, Lebowski. That's not even his line. It's the sheriff's line. Okay. So he says, play something with balls, Elvis. And then that's when the striptease happens. They let it go on for way too long. Yeah. Like, it was, shut it down, Patrick. Like,
it's like one of those scenes out of Disco Godfather where you're like, what's happening right now?
Is this just going to be this now? This is what the movie's become?
10 minutes of this.
playing a Muddy Waters song. I wrote down somebody in the background, the ADR yells, yeah, I want that. Might be the best line of the movie to the long-ass lady up there. Then his bad guy grabs pool sticks. We get a little crazy kung fu stuff with the pool sticks. Ben tracked Jackie Treehorn ends the fight by shooting a gun off in the ceiling.
In a bar.
In the bar, just shoots a gun off.
And the non-existent police force never shows.
That's right. Until the very end of this movie. Oh, I have the guy pole vaults onto the stage in a little... we say a little Last Dragon action here. He shoots the gun. Then we have Bigfoot destroying a business in a town.
The truck, not the.
Yes, not the.
Not the actual.
Not the creature. Not the mythological swamp beast Bigfoot. The truck. The truck of the 80s. Man, Bigfoot was just the monster
huge
truck of the 80s.
Huge.
They had Bigfoot in this movie. It destroys a freaking car lot, like a guy's livelihood. Jackie Treehorn destroys it, and he's like, ha, 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 ha. Look what I've done with my Bigfoot. I'm turning into Skeletor. Look what I've done with my Bigfoot. I've destroyed your car lot, you fools. I did miss the part where he has a discussion with Dalton and he tries to tell him he's just like him.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just like you, Dalton. Me and you are the same.
We're both rich.
We both live across from this river / lake. I'm not sure what it is.
We both like to watch you naked.
We both think you've really got it going on, Dalton. I mean, we both must admit, I would rather watch you have sex, too. Have you seen what my wife looks like lately? Somebody gave her a black eye.
Bloody Mary, come in here.
That's right. After he sees that she's beaten, he offers Dalton the Bloody Mary. So anyway, Bigfoot destroys this thing. Then they burn down Red's, the doctor's uncle's business, right? Or maybe that's even before that. Then they burn down Dalton's house. It's like the old man's house.
It's
Dalton's barn. The number two guy, Shades, he thinks it's so funny. He stops the bike just to laugh. He probably would have got away if he hadn't stopped the bike to get laugh, like the most over the top laugh. It's like it's Skeletor.
Yes.
Take that, Dalton. And he drives off on a motorcycle, as you mentioned.
8 miles an hour.
About 8 miles an hour.
On a bike that'll do about 120.
Swayze tackles him. The guy says, I used to blank guys like you in prison. Pretty choreographed, long fight scene goes on. He seems to get the best of him. They go back and forth. He pulls a gun on him. Throat rip. Dalton rips out his throat, which he's known to do, apparently.
Once before,
he's ripped a guy's throat out. To which I think we missed the part, but Sam Elliott tells him,
are you still living in the past thinking about that shit? You got to move on, mijo.
I was like, maybe not, Sam. Maybe he killed a guy.
Throat rippings happen all the time.
Maybe he should not do that anymore. And then he says,
mijo. If a blank puts a gun in your face, you got two choices, mijo. Kill it to die or kill the blanker. I'm not gonna say it because I want to edit it out.
But yeah, that's his advice to after killing a guy. Move on. It's the only choice, he says.
Really, it's the only
choice. It is the only choice. Throat rip, because we saw it. He pulled the gun. He was like, well, what would Wade do?
Right.
Apparently, dies. What would Wade do? Because he dies. They stabbed him.
He had the opportunity to rip throats out. He ended up with a knife in his
hand. He did not. He ends up getting killed. Now, before this, I didn't talk about one of my favorite parts of the movie. Is Dalton's got he's with the doc. Wade comes to town and he's like, "Let's go, Wade." And he goes and picks up the doc. And of course, Wade's like,
"Ah, damn! I should have known."
Like, because apparently he's a real hound dog. He's just a real tomcat. He's out there getting ladies all the time.
Cuts to the Top Gun-esque scene.
Yes, this cuts to the Top Gun-esque scene. And Wade is dancing with Dalton's newfound girlfriend. Oh, wait, before he dances, though. Is that before or after? He has to show her the scar.
Yeah, that's before.
It's before.
That's what caused the dance to happen.
She's like, well, now I've seen this luscious mane of pubic hair that you have. Sam Elliott, and it's on the side of his hip. There's no reason to pull down his pants the way he does. He's not wearing underwear. He's raw dogging it. He unzips and basically shows her his right up to the line of his dick, basically. And like there's this big pube to show her this scar that's conservatively 18 inches away.
Like 4 inches below his nipple. He's got to pull down his pants.
He's got to pull down her pants. And I would like to imagine that this is just something that either Sam Elliott, the character, or Wade, the actor, or Wade, just likes to do in person all the time.
Anyone new comes into his life.
Anybody new, anytime. I think what got cut out of all the fight scenes was every time before a fight, he'd be like,
is it going to be me and you, mijo? 1 second, I gotta show you something. Like, look at this.
And the guy's like, holy shit, and he sucker punches him. And he even says to the guy, I think we're onto something, because to Jaws, when he fights him, mm-hmm. he says, what are you doing here? And he says, I'm not gonna show you my blank.
Yeah.
And then he punches him in the balls.
Yeah. So it's like the one time. He's like, you know what? I'm going to skip that part.
They were like, oh, we've heard about this guy.
Right.
You know why he's such an amazing cooler? He shows his pubes to everybody that comes in the bar.
Hey.
And it's so luscious that you're stunned.
Are you 21? Let me see that ID. Oh, you are 21. Let me show you something.
Here's your Sears card back. That proves you're 21.
Here's your Sears card. You have fun, darling.
Yeah, showing his pubes like wild. He kills the guy. He runs after. Oh, this is where I said it was turning into the Iliad. I didn't remember this part. He drags the dead guy out into the water and he starts yelling.
Dalton does. Yeah.
Dalton. He starts yelling at Treehorn. I can't think of his name. And
we'll go with Treehorn.
He's like, Treehorn! Treehorn! Dreha! He's dragging his body. I was like, this is turning the Iliad. He's going to...
And then he says F you, I believe.
Yes, he's like, F you. We also talked about Swayze has the weakest lines. This guy says, like, I'm going to whatever, whatever. And Swayze's line is like, you're such an a-hole. He killed your mentor.
Right.
And you call him an a-hole, and he says, F you to Trehor.
It was the point of the movie where he it should have been the line of the movie. Like, I'll
yes.
be back.
Yes, it should have. It,
type of line.
Stick around. Like, it should. Something had to be there. And he went with, you're such an a-hole. And then, of course, he says, F you, Trehor. Look at this, Trehor. He's like, I see you out there, Dalton. I see you killing my number one man.
Beast man.
You'll never be jacked like me. And this is where I was like, hey, by the way, thanks for listening on WDBX. We are out of time for the radio show. Keep listening on the podcast if you want to. Thanks for listening. We love you, everybody. You motherfuckers. This is where we can cuss now. So Dalton's like, fuck you, Trehor. He's like, I want to fuck you, Dalton. My number two guy did, because he said it in quote, I used to fuck guys like you in prison, which always just baffled me.
Yeah, it's
how
am I supposed to feel about that? If I'm fighting the guy and he's like,
thanks.
Is it a compliment? Is it a threat? Is it both? Is it?
And then the movie turns basically into every action movie you've seen from the 80s of just like a fight scene, a guy going into a house and killing people. It's like the end of what's the Seagal movie? It's just like the end of the Seagal movie where he goes into the house
end of
and
every
kills
80s
them. He goes
movie.
Into a fancy house. It's got lots of taxidermy shit hanging up everywhere. Tinker's there. We haven't talked about Tinker at all. Fucking Tinker.
He's probably my favorite character.
He might be. He's the lovable dipshit of the bad guys. He's a big fat guy, and
I don't know that he's that fat.
Pretty
he's
healthy.
Average. He's an average.
He's an average guy. He's an average looking Southern Illinois guy. Tinker. He kills everybody except for Tinker, which we found this preposterous. Tinker. He drops a big bear on top of Tinker, and then says, "What did he say? I don't know if I wrote it down. You were made for each other.
You were made for each other. Yes."
Now, was Patrick Swayze being ultra-progressive? And did he assume that Tinker was a homosexual preferred hairy men? Was he saying that Tinker was a bear because he's a big hairy man, and here's a bear to join you? Because I think Tinker's definitely a bear. He's a hairy motherfucker. You can tell it's the kind of hair that's like popping out of his shirt. It can't be restrained by a T-shirt from the 80s. It's fighting to get up his neck. I don't know. That's my theory. That Tinker is a bear. And he's like, here's another bear. You were made for each other.
So here's a possible tangent
that
leads to Lebowski also.
Okay.
Depending on your deciphering of Sam Elliott's words, which are sometimes hard to understand. He's a lot like Eddie Vedder.
Yes. Me ho, come on, I'll have a shed, but I ain't familiar.
At the end of Lebowski, he says, sometimes you eat the bear or bar, sometimes
the bear eats you.
Which also leads back. There's so many lead ins. This is literally a spinoff.
This is a spinoff. It's a prequel.
It's a spinoff.
It's a prequel to Lebowski. We're on to you, Coen brothers. Yes. I don't think anybody else has ever cracked this code.
I think we're probably going to get hit.
Well, the apocalypse, Jesus Christ.
It could be.
The eclipse is tomorrow, so I hope you all survive and do well. Of course, if you don't, you'll never hear this because it's not coming out till Tuesday.
Right. Which would be my luck, my big debut. Never gets heard, except by
zombies. By the way, I keep calling it the apocalypse. The eclipse killed all electricity and internet, so no more podcasts.
We'll have to put it out in like type form, mail it to people so they can giggle.
Please read these 90 pages.
Nothingness. Nothingness.
Half of it would just be ha-ha.
Two guys drinking bourbon.
The whole town shows up. I love this part. It turns into Murder on the Orient Express. The whole town shows up. They kill Trehorn. He's like, you can't kill me. I'm Jackie Trehorn. They shoot him down.
I'm pretty sure it was the exact quote. from the movie.
He says they kill him dead. Maybe, maybe not. And then that's it. The doc. Oh, and then it just cuts to the doc and Swayze skinny dipping in the exact same place that he ripped the guy's throat out that she was mad at him about.
Which is now their happy place.
24 hours is now where they go to skinny dip and do it in dirty water. So now comes the time of the show when we're going to ask, is this one of the 20 greatest things of the 21st century that still exists in the 21st century? Is it one of the 20 greatest things? And I say, absolutely, yes. It's in the top 20. There's no doubt about it.
The greatest thing.
The greatest. Top 10.
Yeah.
It's a new show. 10 to 21. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to get out of here. Go fuck yourself. We love you.